Heaven on Earth by Gabrielle Henriette. Chapter 1. On the Non-Revolution of the Earth Round the Sun and on the Existence of a Summer and of a Winter Cosmic Breath Stream. Copernicus put forward the hypothesis of the revolution of the Earth around the Sun in order to explain the cycle of the seasons. His theory is not very satisfactory, seeing that the Earth is supposed to be at its greatest distance from the sun in the summer during the hot weather and at its shortest distance in the winter when the temperature is at its lowest. These unusual conditions, which clearly contradict the laws of nature as regards the effects of heat, are, it is said, due to the angle formed by the rays of the sun as they fall on the Earth's surface. It is also stated that the opposition of the seasons north and south of the equator is due to a tilt of the Earth, first on one side and then on the other, which conveniently occurs at the right moment. Nothing is said, however, of the shifting of the waters of the sea and rivers, which this change in the centre of gravity and in the position of the Earth would inevitably bring twice a year. It might also be assumed that under those conditions, very high constructions would swerve from the vertical. The American skyscrapers and the Eiffel Tower, for instance, cannot be seen to lean right or left according to the seasons, although this should be a logical and natural consequence of the alternate inclination attributed to the Earth. It must reasonably be said that the circumstances which readily explain in the most extraordinary and unlikely way the cause of the seasons are not credible, especially in view of the fact that Copernicus, when he published his theories on the movement of the Earth in his treatise on the Revolution of the Celestial Spheres in 1543, insisted on their purely hypothetical nature. He said, "The hypothesis of the movement of the Earth is only one which is useful to explain phenomena, but it should not be considered as an absolute truth. It was never his intention, it seems, that his theories should be taken in earnest by his successors. The motion of the Earth in space can be disproved by a comparison between the supposed speed of the Earth and that of the other planets, if we base our considerations on the principle that a body in motion creates an apparent speed equal to its own in bodies it encounters, which is usually demonstrated by the experiment of a moving vehicle such as a train. It is difficult to judge at first sight whether it is the train or what can be seen outside which is moving away, but one fact is certain, i.e., that the two speeds, one of which is real and the other apparent, are equal. For this reason, if the Earth were in motion, it would create in the planets and constellations an initial apparent speed equal to its own. Consequently, there can be no speed in the heavens lower than that of the Earth's, since it represents a basic speed from which the apparent motions would be derived. But as it can be seen, the displacement of the constellations and of the planets, with the exception of Mercury and Venus, is slower than the supposed speed of the Earth, which under the circumstances stated above is a material impossibility. It should, moreover, be considered that the real speeds of the planets have to be added to the apparent motions created by the supposed movement of the Earth, with the result that the planets ought to pass before us like a flash of lightning. The absence of these mathematical circumstances, which surely have no reason to be invisible, ought to be sufficient to prove that the hypothesis of the revolution of the Earth round the Sun, as put forward by Copernicus, has no basis in fact, and is not admissible, even if such a theory could not be replaced by anything more logical, as it is. An entirely different and more rational explanation of the cycle of the seasons, based on a reasoned investigation of existing conditions, can, however, be given, so that it will no longer be necessary to send the Earth travelling into space to this end. The essential feature of the year is its division into two equal periods of 6 months, based first on the predominating length of the days over that of the nights and vice versa, conditions which are governed by the varying hours of sunrise and sunset, and secondly by the either high or low height reached by the sun in the heavens at midday.